Okay, let's see. And now it's time to introduce our speaker, and I have actually asked her sponsor to do the introduction, Josie C.
Hi, I'm Josie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. It is my pleasure tonight to introduce you all to Alex P. I started sponsoring her almost 2 years ago now. I met her when she had just turned 16, and what she has done in the program has just amazed me, for anyone, let alone someone so young. She has followed the suggestions and really worked hard and already accomplished so much in a short time in sobriety. I don't mean short, you know what I mean. But and overcome some obstacles and using the principles to handle life. And I really admire her. And she always calls me at the right time when I need to talk to another alcoholic, which I appreciate. So thank you for what you've given to me. Enough of me. Here is Alex. Oh my God.
Okay, can you guys hear me? All good? I'm really nervous. I could shit my pants right now. Thanks. I'm Alex. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 20th, 2013. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I just met her, and she's great. And I'm very grateful for all of those women. They have impacted my sobriety tremendously. Okay, so jumping right into that, I was born February 28th, 1997, and that makes me 17. My parents met each other in AA. When I was 3, we moved into a house in Tucker. We lived in a good neighborhood. I had friends on each cul-de-sac. I was spoiled. I thought that I was the princess in my family. I did dress up in princess dresses and wore them all the time. When I was 4, my brother Drake was born, and all of the attention shifted towards him. And actually, the day that my mom gave birth to him, I told my dad to take him back because I wanted a little sister. I was jealous and resentful towards him from the very start, and I felt like my parents loved him more. At some point when I got a little bit older, I recognized my mom and my dad not being on the same page as far as parenting styles and discipline, and I learned quickly how to manipulate one or the other. I practiced lying without giggling or laughing, and that came in handy. When I was about 6 or 7, my mom left my dad for the first time, and that was a really chaotic time. I was struggling in school. I was feeling really insecure, and I started getting into arguments with my mom and my little brother and my dad. so my family, but mostly my mom. And I felt really alone at that point. But 6 months, about 6 months went by, and my mom moved back in with my dad. Yeah. And then jumping ahead, it was the last year of elementary school, and I fought with my mom a lot. My mom and my dad were fighting a lot, and my mom moved out again. And the CRCT, do you guys know what that is? The last big test in fifth grade. I flunked the math portion of that. So instead of going to summer school, I convinced my parents to let me study at home because I was not going to summer school. I was not that kind of kid. So I studied at home and I managed to pass and went to sixth grade. In the first year of middle school, I came home the next 3 days throwing up because I was so nervous. And I came from a very sheltered, bubble-like elementary school to what was an environmental shock in middle school. And it ended up being okay, but it was rough those first few days. So at 12, I had a family friend who was 2 years younger than I was, and I took my first drink with her. And I hated the taste of her mom's cheap boxed wine, but I can remember the feeling I got in my stomach. It was like an adrenaline rush. It's like butterflies in my stomach. And in her family, it wasn't abnormal to take sips of the drink that was on the table or drink that was on the counter. But growing up with two parents who were alcoholics, you were always told, or I was, that if you drink or if you take drugs, there's a risk you may be an alcoholic. And but I did it because I was curious, and it was fun that first time. So yeah. But during that time when I was drinking, my dad was drinking as well, and I was freaking out. And when you're not used to an alcoholic drinking and all that comes with it, the behaviors, the craziness, it's foreign to you. It's insane, and it's not normal. So just breathe. I was arguing with everyone, but saved all of my frustration for my mom. And my mom and I were getting into physical fights at this time. And but at the same time at school, I was cheerleading, I was playing soccer, and doing theater, and I was doing well, and I was dating the love of my life in middle school. And I was still experimenting with alcohol at a friend's house in middle school. And around 14, my mom got engaged, and they moved in together. And my mom and I are still arguing and still fighting continually. But now I had to hide it from her husband because it was embarrassing and I didn't want him to see us fight. I was still cheering. I was captain. I was the ninth grade soccer MVP. I was DeKalb all-star athlete. I was doing well in sports, not in school, not at home, but sports were good. My group of friends, I had over every Friday night since fifth grade, had started being distant and weren't talking to me, and I couldn't figure out why. I didn't think it had anything to do with me at all. Ninth grade rolled around, and I was cheering. I was playing varsity soccer. My little brother and I went to live with my mom and my stepdad because my dad's house went into foreclosure as a result of his drinking. And at this point, I couldn't hide the fighting between my mom and I from my stepdad anymore. So the police were called for the first time, and they were called basically to scare the shit out of me. And it worked for the first, I was good for the first 2 weeks. And that was my pattern. I was fine, and then I wasn't. So I was going to therapy, like a lot of us do. And the therapist told my mom to call the police the next time a fight broke out, and I did not agree with that bitch. I was like, she is crazy. Like, this is normal. Like, you don't call police on family. Like, what is she talking about? And so, anyways, that was that. And my dad had was getting sober again. And he was going to meetings at Clarkston, 12-step group in Tucker. And I started going to meetings with him, not because I wanted to get sober, not because I wanted to hear the AA message or any of that. I wanted to see my dad, and that's where he was all the time. He was getting back on his feet, and so I was going to meetings to hang out with him. And yeah, I was still dating the guy on and off again. In May, my mom and I got into a big fight, and I slapped the shit out of her, and the police were called again, and this time by my stepdad, who wasn't afraid to do that. And I went to juvie, and that was on the night of my soccer banquet, and that was really embarrassing. And my boyfriend's mom came with my mom to pick me up from juvie. It was really embarrassing. So after juvie, I moved into my boyfriend's family home, and that was chaotic and very crazy. And he had two other brothers who were younger than him, and a mom and a dad that lived there. And then I was going to be there, and how long was I there? I was there 2 weeks, which was pretty good for my record. But I got into a fight with his mom and him, and we broke up, and I was gone. And so, so then I moved into my family friend's house, who was my drinking buddy, and I wasn't there for more than a week. And they had enough of me, and I felt really alone. I felt like nobody cared about me. I felt very like it was me against the world. I felt orphan-like, I guess, but not. I mean, it was sad. And Anyways, I was 15 and my mom and my stepdad bought a house that I convinced them to buy because I had to go to Tucker High School. And I did. And they bought that house and they let me live with them. And I was still cheering and still enjoying the attention from cheerleading. And I was sneaking alcohol from my dad's, from my stepdad's stash. And whatever else was around, I didn't have to know what it was, any substance, whatever else was around. I was gonna try it. So that was that. I was sneaking out, I was sneaking people in, I was having people cover for me on a daily basis, and that was just a routine. And I wasn't going to school at all because it was just not a part of my life. My day revolved around me and where I was going to get the next drunk, high, feeling of satisfaction, you know, whatever. So that was that. And in October, my mom took me to Peachford for the first time. And they had to come get me out of the car, but I wasn't sick enough to be admitted to there. So yeah, I continued drinking and continued using and disrupting everyone around me. Because that's what I did. And December 2nd, I had been drinking before a party, and at the party, I had told my dad to pick me up. My phone had died, and I decided that I was going to go to another party with someone else. My parents could not find where I was. When I did decide to come home, I came home in a blackout at 3 a.m. and with the two guys. And two guys, I decided that I was going to sneak them in and no one would notice. My dad, I didn't know that my dad was waiting down the road for me, and he was not happy. And so he threatened those guys to get out of there, and my dad and I started fighting inside my mom's house, and I punched holes in the wall, I broke Christmas decorations, and when my mom threatened to call the police, I came at her. And the next day, I went to bed and I slept it off. And the next day I went and hung out with my dad. And I didn't remember any of that. My mom had to tell me. And looking back on that, that is insane to me. All of that. So a week after that, I thought I was going to school, but my mom took me back to Peachford. So this time I did get in there to the outpatient program. And after the first week, I convinced my mom to let me go to a party because I was not going to use, I was not going to drink, I was not going to do anything. I was going to be fine. But when that party rolled around, I didn't even think of it. It's like I just drank and I just used because it's what you do before you party. And so I did. And I was unaware at the time that you couldn't drink or drug while in a mental institution. And not even after you went home. But I got away with a warning at first. But the next time I did that, I was kicked out. I was done. And so I was like, I don't want to be here. So I continued to drink and party and be crazy. And so on a Saturday, my Nana and my aunt came to visit, and I was messed up that night, and I had been going in and out of the house. And Sunday morning, I was on my way to rural Churchtown, North Carolina. So that was my punishment. I begged to come home every day. I called my mom maybe 20, 30 times a day. And I don't think I'm the only person that ever did that when using, like, blew up someone's phone. But but I don't do that anymore. I don't know. But I felt like I was missing everything. I don't know what it was, but I felt like I was missing everything. And I threatened to kill myself. I was off my meds. There was a social worker that had to come evaluate me, and that stuff never happened before. So after about 2 months up there, I got into a fight with my aunt and uncle who were up there, and I was on my way back home, and I wasn't on my way back home with my mom and my stepdad. I was on my way back home with my homeless dad. So my home was at other people's places, sometimes couch hopping, sometimes sharing a bed. It was not, you know, a luxury life. It was rough. So I was hanging out with old friends and stealing from just about anyone and drinking and getting high, and that was what I was waiting for. And on my 16th birthday, I stayed at a friend's, I partied hard, I went to bed, and when I woke up, I did it all over again. So I was drinking and fighting with my dad now, because he's the one who was closest to me. I was sleeping on couches and not doing any schooling. And I was also addicted to social media, and the disgustingness that was on there was not cool. So my dad saw the filthiness on there, and because I left the page open, and we got into it, and he took me to Peachford, and again, and now I was an inpatient, and I was really scared, and I was out of my mind. I'd been up for 3 days, so that was not fun. And after that, I got out after about 4 days. And I went with my dad to Ridgeview for an evaluation that night. And I was not happy about that. I thought that I needed a vacation for a little bit. I needed a break from mental institutions, and I was not going to a 30-day program, bro. So, yeah. The next week went by well, no beds were available at the time, so I was like, yes. And the next week went by, and I'm still using and drinking and fighting and all of the above. And my mom took me in for a few days because I was going to kill my dad or he was going to kill me. It was just that. So, but my mom took me in, and she had not been answering my phone calls. So it was pretty generous of her. My last drunk, I do remember, and I went out around 2 a.m. with a dude, and I ended up throwing up on him, and drinking at that point, when I did that, I was like, you know what, I know I'm going to Ridgeview tomorrow, maybe it's, yeah, you know. So drinking had become no fun anymore, and it was a hassle more than anything to be sneaky. So March 20th, the next morning, we got up, and I was stinky and gross and not pretty, and I convinced my mom. I was still trying to convince my mom to, I won't do this anymore. I'm okay. And she didn't budge. And I did stay in the adolescent program for the next 30 days. And I cried for a good week and looked out the window and thought of an escape plan. But there's not really a good chance of it. So they kept us busy in treatment here, and that's what I needed, because when I sit and when I think, I can go crazy, and those thoughts are constant, and they were when I first got in here. But prior to Ridgeview, I had somewhat of an understanding of AA, and but I learned a lot more because I was actually participating and actually in it. And I gradually wanted those things for myself. I met my temporary sponsor, who at a Saturday women's meeting, it's an exclusive meeting, but she became my full-time sponsor. I guess you could say that, right? Yeah. and yeah, she's still my sponsor now. It's awesome. And after 30 days, I went to live with my mom and my stepdad and my brother. And that was what I wanted, and that was what I needed. And I remember talking about chores, because in the adolescent program, you have a, what's it called? Contract that you have to sign before you go home. And I'd never done laundry before. I was 16 and never done laundry before. So I was talking to a staff member, and was saying, I don't want to do chores. I don't really want to do these things. And she said, you know, if you want to be a part of a family, and if you want to be a part of a house, which you didn't have when you came in here, you're going to have to do some stuff, and you're going to have to step up. And she was right. And I saw her at a meeting not too long ago, and I told her that, and she was like, oh my God, you remember me. I was like, of course I remember you. So, I did the outpatient program, and I don't know if the record still stands, but I did it for about 6 weeks, and I was one of the patients that was in there for one of the longest times in the outpatient program, because I loved it so much, and it was safe. It was, Ridgeview was just like, I want to be here. I don't want to leave. And at first I wanted to escape, and now I don't want to leave. So, okay. As I was first getting sober, around first 9 months or so, as I was going to meetings, and they suggest, you know, find a home group and, you know, get involved. I dealt with someone who is very sick. I think the heels are going to come off for a second. He's very sick, and, you know, to put it lightly, he became like stalkerish. He became a stalker, and I felt really uncomfortable in my skin when I'm being around him after talking to him. I was afraid to tell my network or people what had been going on. And after I told my sponsor, my mom, my grand sponsor, I felt immediate relief. And I'm not just saying that. It felt like when they talk about like the weight coming off your shoulders, it felt like that. And I did feel like that, and it felt so good. I blocked his phone number, and unfortunately, I had to stop going to certain meetings that I knew he was going to be at. And this person is in the program, has a number of years, but I think it's important for people to know that, you know, we are still sick, some more than others, but I'm grateful for the network of women who stuck by me, were around me during that craziness when I was just like, this is happening. Like, what is going on? How is someone capable of this? And pushed me through it and told me what I needed to hear. So, because that does happen in sobriety. And what it's like today, right? Good on time? Okay. I'm still sober. I still have the best sponsor ever. I still attend meetings. My home life is much more peaceful. I have a relationship with my mom that I didn't even know was possible. We have fun together. She's my mom, but I know it sounds corny, but she's my friend too. I can talk to her. I can trust her. We can laugh. So that's awesome. I don't have to lie anymore, which is nice. I have boundaries. I've got an amazing network that I can tell them anything. I can tell them anything. They've done a lot worse and heard a lot worse. So, I'm able to deal with shit without feeling like shit. And that's because shit does happen, right? Forrest Gump. It does, and it's like sobriety is not a bed of roses, and it does happen, and I can deal with it with feeling, with talking to people and telling them how I'm feeling and trudging through it. And tomorrow will hopefully be better. So I look forward to meeting new people instead of, you know, instinctively wanting to go isolate in my corner under my covers. And sometimes I still do. But anyways, I guess I will wrap it up by saying that I always felt uncomfortable being the youngest in the room or rooms at meetings. But I thought that maybe I was like a little too young, a little too out of control. And maybe I wasn't a real alcoholic. And I hate that term. But now that I've had a little sober time, I don't think it matters if you're 15 or 50. I think addiction loves all kinds, all ages. And being sober is rad. And I think everyone should try it. So, thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, Mary Beth is the one she's talking about that she did worse things than she did. It wasn't me. Or Josie. No, it was Donna. That's who it is. It was Donna. Oh, okay. Thank you, Alex.